the stars, the earth, the sea, the birds, the flowers, and all the other things in creation, and making it mine, I offer it as so many other acts of homage, of love, of blessings, and of praise. And going up in paradise, I make my rounds for all the angels and for all the saints. I unite myself to all the heavenly court, and for each and every one, I give an act of love to you. Next, I take all that which dear Louisa has done, who has done good to everyone and has loved everyone and has operated in a universal manner for God and for everyone. I take it as though mine, as well as all that has been and will be done by those who live in the divine will and work in this same universal manner, and offer it to you as a still more beautiful act of love. Now I draw near to the Blessed Virgin, my dear mother, she being ready to make a gift to me of all her merits. With the confidence of a little child, I take all she has done, from the first instant of her Immaculate Conception to her last breath, and as if all were mine, I offer it to you, O God, as the most beautiful act. And then I go to the Eternal Word made man, and ask him to make me partake in all his acts, his conception, his birth, his escape into Egypt, his 30 years of hidden life, his years of public life, his passion, his death, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. I make it all mine and offer it to you, O Sacrosanct Trinity. And thus, as a poor miserable creature, do I offer you an act most complete and most holy, since I offer nothing of my own, but rather return to you all the glory from that which you have done. Amen.
The command prayer, Abba Father, in the name of Jesus, in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary, with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, please take my humble prayer and make it your command, that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. We believe, we receive, so be it. Fiat. Amen.
Morning offering in the divine will. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother and Queen of the divine will, I entreat you by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and by the graces God has granted to you since your Immaculate Conception, the grace of never going astray. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am a poor and unworthy sinner, and I beg of you the grace to allow our Mother Mary and Louisa to form in me the divine acts you purchased for me and for everyone. These acts are the most precious of all, for they carry the eternal power of your fiat, and they await my yes, your will be done. So I implore you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to accompany me as I now pray. I am nothing and God is all. Come, divine will. Come, heavenly Father, to beat in my heart and move in my will. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood and think in my intellect. Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and recall in my memory. I fuse myself in the divine will and place my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you, God, in the fiats of creation. With my I love you, my soul bilocates in the creations of the heavens and the earth. I love you in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, and in the sky. I love you in the earth, in the waters, and in every living creature my Father created out of love for me, so that I may return love for love. I now enter into Jesus' most holy humanity that embraces all acts. I place my I adore you, Jesus, in your every breath, heartbeat, thought, word, and step. I adore you in the sermons of your public life, in the miracles you performed, in the sacraments you instituted, and in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I bless you, Jesus, in your every tear, blow, wound, thorn, and each drop of blood that unleashed light for the life of every human. I bless you in all your prayers, reparations, offerings, and in each of the interior acts and sorrows you suffered up to your last breath on the cross. I enclose your life and all your acts, Jesus, within my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you. I now enter into the acts of my Mother Mary and of Louisa. I place my I thank you in Mary and Louisa's every thought, word, and action. I thank you in the embraced joys and sorrows, in the work of redemption and sanctification. Fused in your acts, I make my I thank you and I bless you, God, flow in the relations of every creature, to fill their acts with light and life, to fill the acts of Adam and Eve, of the patriarchs and prophets, of the souls of the past, present, and future, of the holy souls in purgatory, of the holy angels and saints. I now make these acts my own, and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat.
Consecration to the divine will. O adorable and divine will, behold me before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, O adorable will, prostrate before your light, I, the least of all creatures, put myself into the little group of the sons and daughters of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I invoke your light, beg that it clothe me and eclipse all that does not pertain to you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapturer of my heart and of my whole being. I do not want the human will to have life in his heart any longer. I will cast it away from me, thus form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it I shall always be happy. I shall have a singular strength and a holiness that sanctifies all things and conducts them to God. Here, prostrate, I invoke the help of the Most Holy Trinity, that they permit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, and thus return in me the first order of creation, just as the creature was created. Heavenly Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take my hand and introduce me into the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my most tender mother, and you will teach me to live in and to maintain myself in the order and the balance of the divine will. Heavenly Mother, I consecrate my whole being to your Immaculate Heart. You will teach me the doctrine of the divine will, and I will listen most attentively to your lessons. You will cover me with your mantle, so that the infernal serpent dare not penetrate into this sacred Eden to entice me, make me fall into the maze of the whole human will. Part of my greatest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and feed me, to form in me the life of the divine will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the guardian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously, shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never leaving the will of God. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything so that my Eden may flourish and be the instrument that draws all men into the kingdom of the divine will. Amen.
Prayer for Louisa's beatification. O most holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that as we pray, we should ask that our Father's name be always glorified, that his will be done on earth, and that his kingdom should come to reign among us. In our great desire to make known this kingdom of love, justice, and peace, we humbly ask that you glorify your servant Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, who with her constant prayer and suffering deeply yearned for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Following her example, we pray you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us joyously embrace the crosses of this world so that we may also glorify your name and enter into the kingdom of your will. Amen.
Prayer before each lesson of the Divine Will Cenacle. May the will of the Father, made known by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me through Mary, in every act I do this day, and every act for the rest of my life. May I enter into the eternal divine order of God, to place my absolute nothingness in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, to give to my Father the joy of fulfilling the purpose of my existence, by doing all the acts of my life through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother and in the Divine Will. And in this same manner, may I breathe, think, speak, pray, eat, live, act, work, walk, and sleep. May my soul be devoid of any longings, wants, or desires, except for those of my beloved Divine Will. And may you, Lord, do with me whatever you want, long, or desire. All I ask is that you bind me in your most holy will so intimately that I may never swerve from carrying out what I know to be your good pleasure, and that I remain so docile to the movements of your divine will that you never perceive even a breath of resistance in my soul to your desires for me. Come, divine will, with all the angels and saints, especially my sweet mother, to touch my forehead, and to imprint on it the Holy Spirit, and infuse in me the light, so I can understand the truths and goods that are in these writings and prayers. Amen. Fiat.
May 13, 1926. In the fulfillment of one's duty, there is sanctity. Image of one who operates for human purposes, and of one who operates to do the divine will, how our Lord is the heartbeat of all creation. I was doing my usual adoration to my crucified Jesus, and while praying, I felt my sweet Jesus near me. Throwing his arm around my neck, he clasped me tightly to himself, and at the same time, he made me see my last late confessor. I seemed to see him pensive, all recollected, but without saying anything to me. My Jesus looked at him and told me, "My daughter, your confessor has found great things before me, because when he would undertake an office, a commitment, he would neglect nothing so as to fulfill the office exactly. He was most attentive. He would make great sacrifices, and if necessary, he would even dispose himself to lay down his own life so that his office might be fulfilled exactly. He had a fear that if he did not operate as befitted his office in the works entrusted to him, he himself might be an obstacle to the very work entrusted to him. This means that he appreciated and gave the right value to my works, and his attentiveness attracted the grace which was needed for the fulfillment of his office. This may not appear to be such a great thing, but rather it is everything. In fact, when one is called to an office and fulfills the duties pertaining to that office, it means that he does it for God. In the fulfillment of one's duty, their sanctity. So he came before me with the fulfillment of his own duties, which have been entrusted to him. How could I not reward him as he deserved? Now, while Jesus was saying this, the confessor seemed to become more engrossed in more profound recollection, and the light of Jesus was reflected on his face. But he did not say even one word to me. Then Jesus resumed his speaking. My daughter, when an individual occupies an office and makes a mistake, or is not attentive to the duties which his office demands, he may cause great troubles. Imagine one who has the office of judge, of king, of minister, or of mayor. If he makes a mistake or is not attentive to his own duties, he may cause the ruin of families, of towns, and even of entire kingdoms. If that mistake, if that lack of attention came from a private individual who does not occupy that given office, it would not cause so much trouble. Therefore, faults in offices weigh more heavily and cause graver consequences. So when I call a confessor to give him an office, and in his office I entrust to him the work of mine, if I do not see attention in the fulfillment of his duties pertaining to that office, I give him neither the necessary grace nor enough light to make him comprehend all the importance of my work, nor can I trust him, because I see that he does not appreciate the work entrusted to him by me. My daughter, if one carries out his office exactly, it means that he does it to fulfill my will. But if one does otherwise, it means that he does it for human purposes. And if you knew the difference between the two. In the meantime, I saw two people before me. One of them went on picking up rocks, old rags, rusty iron, pieces of clay, all things which were heavy and of very little value. For one, he struggled and sweated under the weight of that rubbish, more so, since it did not give him the value necessary to satisfy his hunger. The other one went on picking up grains of diamond, little gems, and precious stones, all things which are very light, but of incalculable value. My sweet Jesus added, the one who keeps picking up rubbish is the image of one who operates for human purposes. That which is human always carries the weight of matter. The other is the image of one who operates in order to do the divine will. What a difference between the two. The grains of diamond are my truths, the knowledges regarding my will, which, picked up by the soul, form as many diamonds for her. Now, if one loses some of that rubbish and does not pick it up, he will cause almost no harm. But if one loses or does not pick up one of these tiny grains of diamond, he will cause great harm, because they are of incalculable value, and they weigh as much as a god can weigh. And if it is lost because of someone who has the office of picking them up, what account will he not have to give, having caused the loss of a grain of infinite value, which could have done who knows how much good to the other creatures? After this, my sweet Jesus placed his heart within me and made me feel his heartbeat, saying to me, my daughter, I am the heartbeat of all creation. If my heartbeat were missing, life would be missing to all created things. Now, I love so much one who lives in my will that I do not know how to be without her, and I want her together with me to do whatever I do. So you will palpitate together with me and among the many prerogatives I will give you, I will give you the prerogative of the heartbeat of all creation. In the heartbeat there is life, motion, heat. So you will be with me, giving life, motion, and heat to everything. As he was saying this, I felt myself moving and palpitating in all created things. And Jesus added, one who lives in my will is inseparable from me, and I do not know how to be without her company. I do not want to be isolated, because company renders the works one undertakes more pleasant, more delightful, more beautiful. Therefore, your company is necessary to me in order to break my isolation in which the other creatures leave me.
May 15th, 1926. Diversity of sanctity and beauty in the souls who live in the divine will. How the whole order and variety of creation will be veiled in the human nature. I was thinking, if the creature had not withdrawn from the supreme will, one would be the sanctity, one the beauty, one the science, one the light, and there would be the same knowledge of our Creator for all. Now, while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus, and it seems to me that he himself makes these thoughts, some doubts and difficulties arise within my mind in order to have the opportunity to speak to me and act as my teacher, told me, my daughter, you are wrong. My wisdom would not adapt itself to forming only one sanctity, only one beauty, or to communicating only one science and the same knowledge of me to everyone. More so, since through highest accord between my will and those of creatures, the kingdom of my will would have had free field of action. Therefore, all would have been saints, but one distinct from the other, all beautiful but varied, one more beautiful than the other. And according to the sanctity of each one, I was to communicate a distinct science. And with this science, some would know one attribute of their Creator more, some another. You must know that as much as we can give to the creature, she only takes the little drops of her Creator. So great is the distance between Creator and creatures, and we have always new and different things to give. And besides, since creation was created by us so that we might delight in it, what would our delight be had we formed in the creature only one sanctity, or given only one beauty and only one knowledge of our incomprehensible, immense, and infinite being? Our wisdom would have grown bored, and by doing only one thing, we would have said of our wisdom, love, and power, what would be said of our wisdom, love, and power, if in creating this terrestrial globe, we had made it all sky, or all earth, or all sea? What would our glory have been? Instead, the multiplicity of so many created things by us, while singing the praises of wisdom, love, and power, speak also of the variety of sanctity and beauty in which the creatures were to arise, for love of whom they were created. See, the sky studded with stars is beautiful, but the sun also is beautiful, though they are distinct from each other, and the sky does one office, the sun another. The sea is beautiful, but the flowery earth, the height of the mountains, the expanse of the plains are also beautiful, though the beauties and the offices are distinct among them. A garden is beautiful, but how many varieties of plants and beauties are in it? There is the tiny little flower, beautiful in its littleness. There is the violet, the rose, the lily, all beautiful, but distinct in color, in fragrance, in size. There is the little plant and the highest tree. What enchantment is a garden guided by an experienced gardener? Now, my daughter, in the order of human nature, also there will be some who will surpass the sky in sanctity and in beauty. Some the sun, some the sea, some the flowery earth, some the height of the mountains, some the tiny little flower, some the little plant, and some the highest tree. And even if man should withdraw from my will, I will multiply the centuries so as to have in the human nature all the order and the multiplicity of created things and of their beauty, and to have it even surpassed in a more admirable and enchanting way.
May 18th, 1926. Just as the Virgin had to embrace everything through the acts of awe in order to obtain hope, in order to obtain a longed for Redeemer and conceive him, in the same way, the one who must obtain the Supreme Fiat has to embrace all and answer for all. Louisa feels the weight of her responsibility. Jesus reassures her. I was using myself in the Holy Divine Will, and after going around all created things in order to impress my I love you, so that my I love you might resound everywhere and over all to requite my Jesus for his great love, I arrived at that point at which I would be requiting my God for all the love he had in act of being conceived in the womb of the celestial mama. At that moment, my beloved Jesus came out from within my interior and told me, my daughter, in order to conceive me, eternal word, my inseparable mama was enriched with seeds of grace, of light, and of sanctity by the Supreme Majesty. And she did such and so many acts of virtue, of love, of prayer, of desire, and of ardent sighs as to surpass all the love, virtues, and acts of all generations which were needed in order to obtain the longed-for Redeemer. So when I saw in the Sovereign Queen the complete love of all creatures and all the acts needed to deserve that the word be conceived, I found in her the requital of the love of all. Our glory be restored, all the acts of the redeemed ones, and even of those for whom my redemption was to serve as condemnation because of their ingratitude. Then did my love make its final display, and I was conceived. Therefore, the right to the name of mother is natural for her. It is sacred, because by embracing all the acts of the generations and substituting for all, it was as if she delivered them all to new life from her maternal womb. Now you must know that when we do our works, we have to give so much love, light, and grace to the creature who is chosen and to whom the work is entrusted, that she may be able to give us all the requital and the glory of the work entrusted to her. Our power and wisdom would not deposit themselves in the bank of the creature from the very beginning of a work of ours, as though in the act of going bankrupt. Our work must be safe in the creature, who is called as primary act, and we must collect all the interest and the glory equivalent to our work entrusted to her. And even if our work were later communicated to the other creatures, and because of their ingratitude it ran the risk of failing, this would be more tolerable for us, because the one to whom it was entrusted at the beginning allowed us to collect all the interest in place of the failures of the other creatures. This is why we gave her everything and received everything from her, so that all the capital of redemption might remain intact, and through her our glory might be completed and our love requited. Who is the wise man who from the very beginning would put his capital in a bank that is about to go bankrupt? First he makes sure, and then he entrusts his capital, however it may happen that later on it fails. But this cannot cause him grave damage, because he has already made up for his capital through the much interest received. If man does so, much more so does God, whose wisdom is incomprehensible. And this was not about just any work or small capital, but it was about the great work of redemption and all the cost of the infinite and incalculable value of the eternal word. It was a unique work, nor could a new descent of the eternal word on earth be repeated. Therefore, we had to place it in safety in the celestial sovereign lady. And since we entrusted everything to her, even the very life of a God, she, as our trustworthy one, had to answer for all, becoming the guarantor and the one responsible for this divine life entrusted to her, as indeed she did. Now, my daughter, what I did and wanted from my celestial mama in the great work of redemption, I want to do with you in the great work of the supreme fiat. The work of the divine fiat is a work that must embrace everything, creation, redemption, and sanctification. It is the basis of everything. It is the life that flows in everything and encloses everything within itself. Because it has no beginning, it is the beginning of all things and the end and fulfillment of our works. See then, the capital we want to entrust to you is exuberant. You have not calculated it. But do you know what it is that we entrust to you in the supreme fiat? We entrust to you the whole creation, all the capital of redemption and that of sanctification. My will is universal, and in all things it has been the operator. So it is right that what belongs to it be entrusted to you. Would you perhaps want my will without its works? We do not know how to give our life without our works and our goods. When we give everything. And just as by giving the word to the celestial queen, we centralized all his works and his goods in her. In the same way, by giving you our supreme will, reigning and dominating in you, we give you all the works that belong to it. This is why we are giving you so many graces, knowledges, and capacities, so that from the very beginning, supreme fiat might suffer no failure. And you, placing it in safety, must give it the requital of love and glory of all creation, redemption, and sanctification. Your task is great. It is universal and must embrace everyone and everything in such a way that if our will communicated to the other creatures should suffer some failure, in you we must find the compensation for the void of others. And as you place it in safety within yourself, and you give us the love, the glory, and all the acts that the other creatures should do for us, our glory will always be complete, and our love will collect its just interest. So you too will be our trustworthy one, the one responsible for the divine will trusted to you and its guarantor. Now, while Jesus was saying this, I was taken by such fright, I comprehended all the weight of my responsibility, and fearing strongly that I might put in danger nothing less than all the weight and works of the divine will, I said, "My love, thank you so much. Goodness of yours toward me. My love, thank you for so much goodness of yours toward me. But I feel that what you want to give me is too much. I feel an infinite weight that crushes me, and my littleness and incapacity have neither strength nor ability. As I fear that I might displease you, and I might be unable to embrace everything, go to some other creature, more capable, so that all this capital of your supreme will may be safer, and you may receive all the interest equivalent to such a great capital. I had never thought of such a great responsibility, but now that you are making me understand it, I feel my strengths fail me, and I fear my weakness." Jesus, clasping me to himself to relieve me from the fear that crushed me, added, "My daughter, courage, do not fear. It is your Jesus that wants to give you too much. Am I perhaps not free to give you whatever I want? Do you perhaps want to put a limit to my complete work, which I want to entrust to you? What would you say if my celestial mama had wanted to accept me, the eternal word, but without his goods and without the acts that were needed to be able to conceive me? Would this be true love and true acceptance? Certainly not. So, would you want my will without its works and without the acts that befit it? Now, so that you may remove this fright, you must know that everything I have told you, that is, this capital so great, already in you, is already in you. After I had you acquire the practice of giving me the requital of the glory and the love of all creation, redemption, and sanctification, making you embrace everything and everyone, and having seen that the equivalent interest was coming to me easily, only then did I want to make known to you with more clarity the great capital of my will entrusted to you, so that you may know the great good you possess, and as you come to know it, I may assign the deed of capital entrusted to you, and also make for you the receipt of the interest you give me. If you did not know it, neither the deed of the capital nor the receipt of the interest could be made. Here is, therefore, the necessity to make it happen to you. Besides, why do you fear to the point of wanting to send me to another creature? Do you not have love within you that says, I love you for everyone and for everything? An emotion that repays me for the motion of all, and that in everything you do embraces everyone to give me the acts, the prayers, the glory, and the reparations of all, as though in one singular embrace? If you already do this, why do you fear? excuse me. At that moment, I saw other souls around me. Jesus went to them, and checking them all, he seemed to touch them to see whether, at his touch, the motion of his divine life would come out, but nothing came out. Then he came back to me. Taking my hand, he squeezed it tightly, and his touch, a light came out of me, and Jesus, all content, told me, "This light is the motion of the divine life in you." I went to the other creatures, as you saw, but I did not find my motion. How then can I trust the great capital of my will? This is why I have chosen you, and that's enough. Be attentive and do not fear.
May 23rd, 1926. The divine will is seed of life, and wherever it enters, it produces life and sanctity. Just as the Virgin had her time, the one who must impetrate the supreme fiat also has her time. I was accompanying my sweet Jesus in his most sorrowful agony in the garden, especially when all the weight of our sins unloaded itself upon his most holy humanity, to the point of making him shed living blood. Oh, how I would have wanted to relieve him from pains so excruciating. And while I compassionated his whole being, he told me, "My daughter, my will has the power to give death and to give life. And since my humanity knew no other life but the life of my divine will, as the sins crowded over me, my will made me feel a distinct death for each sin. My humanity moaned under the pain of the real death which my supreme will gave me. But over that very death which this divine will gave me, it made the new life of grace rise again for creatures. So as evil and bad as a creature might be, if she has the fortune of letting one act of my will enter into herself, even at the point of death, since my will is life, it sows the seed of life in the soul. And as she possesses the seed of life, there is great hope that the soul may be saved, because the power of my will be careful so that this act of life of its own, which has entered the soul, may not perish and turn into death. In fact, my will has the power to give death, but my will itself and all of its acts are untouchable and not subject to any death. Now, if one act alone of my will contains the seed of life, what will not be the fortune of one who embraces within her soul, not one act alone, but continuous acts of my will? This creature receives not just the seed, but the fullness of life, and places her sanctity in safety. Then afterwards, my poor mind was wandering in the holy divine will, doing my usual acts in it. It seemed to me that everything was mine. And as I went around through all created things to impress everywhere my I love you, my adoration, my glory to my Creator, I acquired new knowledge of what God has done for the creature and of how much He has loved us. The Supreme Will seemed to delight in making known the new surprises of its love so that I might follow its acts in order for it to give me the right to possess what has come out of its creative will. My littleness wandered amid its immense goods. In the meantime, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior and told me, "My daughter, when my Queen Mama came out to the light of the day, everyone was turned toward her. and as though having one single gaze, all pupils looked at she who was to dry their tears by bringing to them the life of the longed-for Redeemer. All creation was centered in her, feeling honored to obey her wishes. The divinity itself was all for her and all intent on her, in order to prepare her and to form in her, with surprising graces, the space into which the eternal Word was to descend to take on human flesh. If the virtue were not present within us, that, while we operate, deal with, or speak with one creature, we do not neglect the others, all would have said to us, "Leave all of us aside. Think of this virgin. Give, centralize everything in her, that she may let the one come in whom our hopes, our life, all of our good are placed." Therefore, the time in which the Sovereign Queen came out to the light of the day can be called the time of my mama. This, my daughter, can be called your time. All are turned toward you. I hear the voice of all, as if it were one alone, praying me, pressing me, that my will may reacquire its absolute divine rights over you, so that acquiring its total dominion, it may pour into you all the fullness of goods it had established to give if the creature had not withdrawn from my will. So the whole of heaven, the celestial mama, the angels and saints, all are turned toward you for the triumph of my will, because their glory in heaven will not be complete if my will does not have its complete triumph on earth. Everything was created for the total fulfillment of the supreme will. And until heaven and earth return into this circle of the eternal volition, they feel their works, their glory, and beatitude as though halved, because not having found its complete fulfillment in the creation of the divine will, cannot give what it had established to give, that is, the fullness of its goods, of its effects, joys and happinesses, which it contains. This is why they are all longing. My will itself is all for you and intent on you. It holds nothing back of graces, of light, and whatever it takes to form in you the greatest of prodigies, which is its fulfillment and its total triumph. Which one do you think is a greater prodigy? That a little light remains enclosed in the sun, or that the sun remains enclosed in the little light? And I, it would certainly be more prodigious if the little light enclosed the sun, and indeed it seems impossible to me that this may happen. And Jesus, what is impossible for the creature is possible for God. The little light is the soul, and my will is the sun. Now, my will must give so much to the little light as to be able to make of it a circle and be enclosed in it. And since the nature of light is to spread its rays everywhere while remaining in triumph within this circle, it will spread its divine rays to give the life of my will to all. This is the prodigy of prodigies, which the whole of heaven longs for. Therefore, give broad field to my will. Be opposed in nothing, so that what was established by God in the work of creation may have its fulfillment.
That's a powerful last paragraph. He said, and I, it would certainly be more prodigious if the little light enclosed the sun. And indeed, it seems impossible to me that this would happen. And Jesus says, what is impossible for the creature is possible for God. The little light is the soul, and my will is the sun. Now, my will must give so much to the little light as to be able to make it a circle and be enclosed in it. And since the nature of light is to spread its rays everywhere while remaining in triumph within the circle, it will spread its divine rays to give the life of my will to all. This is a prodigy of prodigies, which the whole of heaven longs for. Therefore, give broad field to my will. Be opposed in nothing, so that what was established by God in the work of creation may have its fulfillment. That whole reading is a nice reading. It's a positive reading, and there's a lot of little teachings in it as you go through it. And recently I heard, in the last reading, Jesus had touched some other people other than Louisa, and they weren't really proper for being in the divine will. They weren't good candidates. That made me think of us, how we're good candidates then, because he's touching us. He sees us here every morning, and he's got to be taking that into consideration when he's given us that we would be ones that he would touch and say, yes, they're getting up every morning early and they're studying there and they care and they love the divine will. And then that flowed over to this reading. It's all positive. Amen.